we need to recognize two things. Number one, the holiday season, the Christmas time. I personally, as a pastor, have had more calls during this time for suicide and depression and those issues than any other time of the year. It is every time. This is when it happens with more intensity. Now, what does that say to us? It says a couple things. Number one, this presents a unique opportunity for you and I to be prepared to minister. And number two, we need to guard our own hearts. Because we are just as made of the same flesh that everyone else is. And if we don't have our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be in real trouble. I wanted to, I think we have a PowerPoint here, so. The first one, I wanted to just point out a couple of verses here that are very encouraging to me personally. In Romans chapter 12, verse 7, 18, it says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Now, we need to remember this verse, particularly if you have family dynamics. Anybody here have some tension in their family, extended family, and that sort of thing that might be getting together? You think most of us can identify with this? In some cases, it's really, really can be tense. It doesn't matter what the family's doing. It matters a lot what you do. Okay? You can't control the family. I can't control the family, but I can always control myself. In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can, as much as lieth in me, live peaceably. Important. We need to remember that's a critical aspect of our testimony. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says something similar. "Pursue peace with all people, holiness without which no one else see the Lord." Okay, here's the point. When it says pursue peace, how optional is it from God's perspective? No options. Again, we need to remember this. Situations can be pretty uncomfortable, but still an opportunity to be different in the power of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." What's the motive here? What should be our goal? Should we try to say, "Listen, I don't want anything to do with anybody"? No, it says there ought to be an effort for us to be peacemakers. By the way, I don't have it up here, but if you went to Corinthians, you'll see we literally have been charged with the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That's our call. So it's not bad for us to be in places and situations which are tense. But we need to be prepared to minister properly. This passage in regards to living in peace. "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes." How about that for family? Keeping the family peaceable. It says use some wisdom in what you get into. You ever been around people that are looking for a fight? Okay, it just happens. And here it says we need to be wise enough to do our level best not to get drawn in. Goes on, knowing that they generate strife, "and a servant of the Lord," now who would that be? That'd be any of us that profess to know Jesus Christ. "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and in humility correcting those who are in opposition. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Now, a couple of things that I'm reminded of here. I cannot tell you how many times I've gathered with my family, particularly with my brothers and sisters, and I had told the children, if it's just Pam and I would talk about it. We're going over there and we need to look for an opportunity, if we can, to talk to them about the Lord. But guess what? Haven't seen a lot of change. Now, does that mean I ought to stop getting around them? No, you purpose to do everything you can to be around. But you do it recognizing that it is God's role. Notice verse 25. This is comforting to me. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Okay, so humbly, if you get into the dispute and you have to correct them, you do it humbly, not arrogantly, not in your face. And if God perhaps will grant them repentance. Notice who it is. That is not us. That part right there is God's work. Our work is to be a gracious, humble servant who is presenting truth lovingly, modeling truth lovingly, and it's God's work when he's going to change the hearts. And we can take joy in doing this as best we can. And it concludes with, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Don't we wish that for all of our loved ones? Psalms 133, whoops, I have another couple of verses. Psalms 133, 1, I didn't put it up there, says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Well, that's sweet. It's sweet to partake. It is a sweet thing. Now, we've talked about these next verses, and we don't have a lot of time. We all know how much time we run out of. I want to rifle through these principles, and I'm reviewing, and we looked at this in more detail in November. And so it's not that I don't recognize we've looked at this before, but it's a great truth to just reflect on. The first one, in regards to conflict, before you go diving into it and taking positions, make sure you get your facts right. Now, I could go through the verses, but I'm not going to right now. I had, choose the time carefully. It may well be, if you have a conflict, it isn't at the kitchen table, isn't at the Christmas dinner table. Okay? You know, where there are 25 other people around, may not be the best time to confront someone that's doing wrong. Do you think? You know, maybe that day, or maybe before, but generally speaking, in a more private setting is a better situation than to bring it up in front of others. Control your attitude and your words carefully. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Great truths. I mean, it speaks. Speaking the truth in love. That's what it's talking about. Speaking the truth in love. We got to speak. We have a responsibility not to be silent on issues. But we do it humbly, we do it graciously, we do it at the right time, we make sure we have our facts right, we don't make assumptions. You know how you find out your facts if you've, in your mind, you've already concluded? You ask questions. Questions aren't the same as saying, you've been drinking. That is much more likely to get the dander up. Where you can say, you know what, I've been a little concerned. How are you doing? And I know you've had some problems in the past in this area. How are things going? Okay, that's a much, much better way to move into this. Love should hide a multitude of issues. And it may hide them for a period of time until it's a more appropriate time to deal with it. So there is discernment that you and I are supposed to practice. That's what 1 Peter is all about. Pray for wisdom. James 1:5 talks about that. Demonstrate love. This Colossians passage, you might want to turn there. Let's do that. Let's all turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And pick it up in verse 14. I'll just read it, listen along. Verse 14 says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Isn't that sweet? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And it concludes with verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The first verse talks about demonstrating love, verse 14. Verse 15 talks about peace. Radiate the peace of God. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to be right with the Lord. I've also found, this is a really a insightful thought in my own life. I need to be rested. You know that if you're already exhausted, it's hard to radiate peace. Not impossible, but it's just harder. Use the words, the word is your guide. And that's what verse 16 is talking about, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then, going to another passage, although we'll come back in just one more point to this passage in Colossians. Examine yourself before you accuse someone else. It's talking about taking the plank out of our own eyes. And so it's important that we really are serious about our own walk. And 11th is seek resolution and practice forgiveness. Not to continue the conflict. So we really, and I don't have time. We've looked at the Luke passage. The Luke chapter 17 passage has three truths, and I'm trusting that as we go through these Wednesday nights, you're starting to write this stuff in the margin of your Bible. But you really ought to be looking in Luke chapter 17. It says if you have something against someone else, that you are to rebuke them. And if they repent, then you are to forgive them. Okay, you don't necessarily, your heart has to be vertically at peace with this because they've sinned against God, not you first and foremost. But you need to be prepared to forgive. And then the passage goes on in verses 4 and 5 and says, listen, faith, you can't be using that I don't have enough faith. You can't be using frequencies, the 4 and 5. They come back to you 7 times in the same day. You can't be using the fact that they did it. This is the 6th time you've said you're sorry about doing this and you've asked for forgiveness. I'm getting sick of it. Get out of my life. No, Scripture made it clear. We don't have that option. We are to forgive them if they repent. It goes on to there, the disciples responded to Jesus as he taught this and says, listen, I can't do this. Give us more faith. And you can just see it. The Lord came back to them and said, now listen, this is not an issue of faith. This is an issue of obedience. So don't give me the garbage that you can't forgive them. Basically what he was saying. And then he went into this discussion in 7, 8, 9, and 10 in regards to a servant coming back and the master asked him for food. And it talks about how, what is the servant to do? He brings him food. Here's the message of that. Don't tell me you're too mad about it. You can't forgive him right now. No, that's not acceptable either. It's not a question of how you feel. Obey. So it's not a matter of how many times they do it. Obey. Forgive them if they repent. It's not a matter of your faith. Stop making excuses. The Scripture said obey. What do you need? You know, I think of my little grandson, which I use so often. He's a colorful little guy, and that's why he gets used as an illustration. But he doesn't have to be able to spell the word no to know what it means. Although he probably is figuring it out that even how to spell it, because I say it more than N-O, but no. It isn't a question whether he has a full, he just ought to obey. So should we. Okay, now, we have a prayer request, but I have one last thing. Turn over your sheet for a second. I want everyone in here to find someone to do this with. If you're married, it's real easy. It ought to be your spouse. But I know that not everyone's married. But you have certain people that you know better than others. Find someone you know well. And I have 20 questions that I first want you to go through and answer for yourself. Right? Go down the list. I use words that are inappropriate when I talk with you, thinking about that significant person. And then rate it on whether or not you hardly ever do it, give yourself a 5. If you seldom do it, give yourself a 4. If sometimes do it, a 3. A 2 if it's frequently, and almost always, give yourself a 1. And go all the way through these questions and see if you pass. A Christian ought to be able to pass this, and it ought to truly be reflective of the life that they can pass this in their interaction with significant others. And you know the reason why it's important to take those that are very closest to us? This is the tragedy. As a pastor, I find that Christians are often more sinful in their communications with those closest to them if they're having a problem in their walk. They'll be real polite and nice in a setting where it's out in a church setting, but when they get at home, that's why you do it yourself, and then without your grade being shown, you have that other person do it. And see how close you are to having the same grade. And the whole purpose of doing that is that if you, in doing this, identify some problems, what should you do? Well, you ought to repent of your sinfulness. I'm telling you, if you have a problem in any of these areas, you're committing sin. And you just be honest about it. Call it sin. And then repent. And then purpose to go forward in a way that bring honor to God. One of the aspects of that, remember, in our sanctification, it isn't just putting off the wrong behavior. You got to put the right behavior in it. But that is to be rooted, grounded, built upon proper thinking. So you need to get your Bible out and identify the scriptures that tell you how to respond to these things properly. My objective for us as a group, I honestly believe our neighborhood is in such serious trouble. Those of us that live here know that. It's in serious trouble, and it's not likely to get better anytime soon. Every single one of us needs to be learning to use our Bibles to solve everyday life issues. So that if it isn't myself that was called by someone to go see Andy in the psych ward, and it was you, you are prepared to go. If your neighbor calls you up and says, "The police just came and took my husband away. He tried to choke me." And you're the one they called. You don't have to call someone else to go over there and help them from the Word of God. Every one of us needs to be reading, studying, listening, and learning. Because you know what? There may be a day in the future where we can't gather together. May be a day in the future where I can't come if you call. Every one of us that knows the Lord needs to have our Bible and start using it and learning it. Now, I say that. I know many of you are very active in ministering to others. But we can do more. Okay? You understand your assignment? Now, how many of you recognize that this isn't to be something that you just put in your Bible and walk away with, never to look at again? I am asking you to make a commitment to go through this with someone and take an honest look and then respond biblically. Amen?